We just need to be thankful that the Lord has revealed himself to the degree that he has to us. That we at least know, you know, of this great salvation that we have in Jesus. And that that is the entry point, that's the beginning of an awesome, wonderful life in the Spirit. And as we grow in him and blossom and bear fruit for the glory of God, what a joy it is. You know, God is a patient God. Tonight, I wanted to talk about waiting on the Lord. In James 5 and verse 7, it says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain." How many know that the earth cannot provide its own rain in the sense that it depends upon, right, the clouds? And the earth cannot dictate when it will rain. The same thing is true for you and I in the Spirit. The Lord has times and seasons. There are times of refreshing. There are times when the Lord is pouring out his Spirit. And it's not when we decide, it's when he decides. The awesome thing about this time and this dispensation that we're in right now is that God is presently pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. I believe, folks, we're already in that time that God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. There are people who can come in a meeting such as this where the glory of God is and God is pouring out his Spirit and completely miss it. It baffles me, but they can sit here and be oblivious to what's actually happening. And yet, you know, we're having this encounter that's just mind-blowing. It's awesome. It's wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord and with his people. But we're like that thirsty ground, you know, that needs the rain of heaven. We need his presence to bear fruit, to live. And so the Lord is likened to a farmer who is waiting patiently for the fruit of the earth. He's waiting for the harvest of souls, that number to come in. And he pours out the former and the latter rain in its season. God decides when those seasons are. We don't. But when he is pouring out his Spirit, we need to get in, amen, his presence. We need to get into the Spirit with him. We don't want to miss out on what God is doing. How many know that you can lose opportunities with the Lord because we're not paying attention to what he's doing? We're not paying attention to what he's saying. We can miss God. And it's up to us to pay attention. It's up to us to wait on the Lord. It's up to us to listen to his voice. I've heard this said, Frank, you say this a lot. I say it too, but God is never in a hurry. And he's always on time. God is always on time. We have our idea of what God's time should look like. And sometimes we try to help God, you know, move things along a little quicker than maybe he wants to. We know that God knows when to water the plants. He knows when to harvest the crops. We don't. All we can do is receive. All we can do is make ourselves available to receive his presence. Amen? His grace. We cannot achieve righteousness. It is received. We cannot be holy apart from him who's holy. We have to receive him who is holy. And we are holy in the Holy One. Holiness is not something you achieve. It's Christ in you. He has become for us holiness. So we need to understand this, that the poor, the desperate, the thirsty in spirit are the ones who will be filled. And the thirsty and the hungry and the poor in spirit, if you will, are the ones who are in the position for the blessing of God. And what is the position? It is humbling yourself before God, opening your heart and your life and coming to Him empty and saying, God, I need You to fill me. Amen. We don't come to Him with our achievements. We don't come to Him with how good we were. We come to Him empty and broken and asking God for mercy and for grace. And again, remember, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. That's the cross. It was His mercy poured out at the cross. He didn't give us what we deserved. But it's His grace also giving us what we don't deserve. Amen? It's God giving us what we don't deserve. But He's gracious and He loves us so much. And He has such a beautiful plan for our lives if we would just cooperate with the Lord and be willing to lay down our ideas, our plans, our agendas, that we might pick up His and go with Him. And it's a glorious journey when we're walking with Jesus. We live in an instant society. You know, we don't want to wait for anything, it seems today. So much of our society today doesn't understand the value of waiting for anything. You know, I grew up in that generation, the 60s and 70s, and that's where it really started to shift, you know. Rush, everything, live for today was the word, you know. Get it all now. And a lot of people who are getting it all now don't have anything now. Because they didn't discipline themselves and wait and go through the process to get themselves into position so that they could be financially secure, for example. Anybody here guilty of that? Because it's a consumer mentality in America. You get it, you spend it. And we've lost the concept of waiting for things. You know, the value of waiting for things. It's the same thing in relationships. You know, everybody's in such a hurry today to get into relationships. You know, the kids want to grow up quickly and have a boyfriend or have a girlfriend and quickly want to get into a relationship. And they don't understand the value of waiting on the right person. Amen? And our society has fed us this lie. We've grown up with it constantly in our face at school and in the media and on the television. And it's constantly in your face. You got to have it all now. You can have it all now. You don't have to wait for anything. And because of that, we're making mistake after mistake because we think life is just an event rather than a process. We want to go to the event and have it all fixed right there, you know? Right? Well, maybe if I just go one more altar call, I'll be finished. I'll arrive or something. Not understanding that the walk in the Spirit, this life with Jesus, is a process. It's a day-by-day renewing process. Being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Having our lives transformed by the revelation of God through His Word and by the Spirit. Being transformed into His glorious image from glory to glory as we're beholding Jesus on a daily basis. Our own initiative may get quick results, but it doesn't allow for the working of God in our lives. Isn't that true? You see, God has already, I want you to hear this, He determines a time and place to meet with us. Now, it's good that we will set us a time during our day to have a devotion or say, this is a time I'm setting aside to be with the Lord and I don't want anything else to interfere with that. Devotions are good, but you know, God is like the wind. He's going to blow, you know, when you don't always expect it. He just shows up all of a sudden and He blesses your socks off or He uses you in a way that you like didn't expect. He's like the wind. Jesus says you don't know where it's coming from and you don't know where it's going. So are those who are born of the Spirit. And so God has determined a time and place to meet us. Now, it may be in a cave like Elijah. It might be in a prison cell like Paul. It might be a shipwreck. Like Paul, amen? The meeting place might be at a threshing floor, such as Gideon. The meeting place could be at a burning bush, such as Moses. God just shows up. There are divine appointments along the way. And we've got to be paying attention. It says that Moses turned aside to see what was happening. You know, sometimes God is doing something and we're not paying attention and we just keep on moving. Sometimes we're moving when God says to stop and listen. I want to speak to you. Sometimes when we're praying, we're just doing all the talking and we're not listening. I've been guilty of that. We have entered into a war when we come into covenant with Jesus. Amen. We have turned coat on the devil. And so the war begins. And so there are going to be times when we are going to be under opposition. And in everything, what God is trying to teach us is that we need to find contentment in Him. We need to find stability in Him. We need to find that grace of patience in Him in the midst of opposition when all hell breaks loose in your life, you know. You need to know how to get a hold of God. You need to know how to draw from His resources that will enable you to stand up in the evil day. So we need to wait patiently for the Lord. In Psalms 27:1, this is a psalm of David. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now, there are many who believe that this is actually speaking prophetically of the arrest and trial of Jesus prior to the cross. But David here is penning this, and he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Now, what is David doing? David is encouraging himself in the Lord. I have said this, I've used this many times in my own life when I've been going through a dark period. I will say it, I will declare it, I will decree it, and all of a sudden I'll find that the atmosphere of darkness shifts. It turns around. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Do you ever fear man? I think there's times when we do. What do? We draw from the Lord. We declare that He is mighty, that God is bigger, that God is greater, that God is with me, that God is for me, that who can be against me? Who is man? Why should I fear man if God is for me? He's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies, my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, he says, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Now, folks, do you think that he's talking about abiding in church? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord? Now, we use that sometimes, don't we, to get people to come to church. Now, people should come to church, right? Because we're not to forsake assembling together. All right. But he says, I have desired this, and this is what I'm seeking, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. It's His dwelling place. It's the secret place of the Spirit, amen, in the heart, where we can meet with the Lord. We are the temple today of the Holy Spirit. At that time, they looked at the literal physical temple that was on the earth, with the Shekinah glory and the presence of the Lord. And they looked at that. But the temple was to give us a type, amen, or a shadow of what was to come. The fulfillment would be Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. The glory of God in us. Hallelujah. Why? He said, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion or His den. In the secret place of His tabernacle or tent, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Do you want to be high on a rock? Only the Lord can do that. And now my head, he said, shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. There it is again. We should be singing to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Now look at this, verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord where? In the land of the living. Now, when they spoke of the land of the living, folks, they were talking about on the earth. He said then, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Patience is necessary when we're under opposition of the enemy. When it seems like all hell has broken loose against you, you need to dig in your heels and you need to call on the name of the Lord. You need to sing to the Lord, cry out to the Lord, because the Lord is there to deliver us. He will hear you if you will call upon him. He says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. In other words, he expected to see God's goodness in his life. How many know that God honors faith? Yes. Faith is believing that God is good, that God is, and that he's a rewarder. Amen? Hebrews 11:6, of those who diligently seek him. So faith is believing that God's going to do something good in my life. And that's why in Psalms 23, he finished it with, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He said it. He spoke it out all the days of my life. You want goodness and mercy to follow you? Start speaking it out. Call in the blessing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wait on the Lord. Be patient in the process. Be of good courage. This is what God is asking us to do. Don't cower. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. Stand. Amen. Wait on the Lord. And what will happen is he shall strengthen your heart. Bruce and I were talking about something earlier today. Sometimes, you know, we have difficulties in life. Sometimes we find ourselves maybe in employment that is less than desirable. Has anybody, you ever had to work for a boss that you just couldn't stand? And yet you couldn't do anything about it, especially in the Army, right, Frank? You get that supervisor, man, you're stuck, you know? Yeah, I get it. We'll talk later. No. That was out of order, brother. I think we've all been there, right? You ever had somebody, you know, that you had an answer to, and it's like they were unfair to you, they mistreated you, maybe they were disrespectful towards you. You felt like they were putting you down. I mean, we've all had these experiences. Do you know, God's not even so concerned about what they did to you. He's looking at how you responded to it. Come on. Did we get disgruntled? Did we talk bad about them? Did we go around spread rumors about them? Did we say, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get even with you? God's looking at that. He said, well, I can't bless you. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to develop you in your character. I'm trying to develop you in this thing called patience. Patience means you have to be tested in endurance. You have to endure something to be somebody. Amen? If you have a bad temper, you're going to be tested in the area of pressure. Amen? And things get heavy and hot and you want to blow up, and then you say, well, I'm going to draw from the resources of the Lord. I'm going to begin to sing and make melody in my heart to the Lord. I'm going to call on Jesus, say, Lord, I need your grace right now. Amen? And let the Lord, He will allow you to go far enough. Amen? But never beyond the point where you can't handle it. But each time you get to that place, He's going to stretch you a little further, but you're going to look back and say, man, I used to be so impatient, but now I've got this patience. It's got to be God. Amen? Are we not getting more patient through the trials, through the difficulties? See, He's conditioning us and preparing us for eternity. That's what matters. Not this momentary light affliction, not this temporary life, but eternity with God. That's why we should be seekers of Him. That's why we should be listening. That's why we should be going with Him. Amen? And what He says, listen, if you wait on Him, if you'll endure it and be of good courage, what He's going to do? He says, He shall strengthen your heart. How many know it doesn't come any other way? Sometimes we try to run away from our trials. You know, David knew perfectly well. I mean, you read his life, you read his stories, you read the Psalms, what it is to have all hell break loose in his life. I mean, this guy experienced all kinds of opposition. He had misunderstandings. He had insurrections. He had rejection. He had threats on his life. This guy had his plate full often, you know, of stuff that was happening. But he knew enough to not try to depend on his own ability to overcome. David was a man after God's own heart. He sought the Lord. He was poor in spirit. He realized that he did not have in himself what it required to overcome. So what he did is he sought the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord heard his cry. David knew that in his time of distress to wait patiently for God to intervene. And he found refuge in the God that he trusted. Has anybody found refuge in the Lord? Thank God. Amen. And he found courage to face his struggles. Not because he was just a courageous guy, but because he was trusting in the Lord. Everyone has the ability to take courage in a situation. Would you agree? It's whether or not you want to take the courage, the muster up, we call it, the courage. And there are times when we need to understand that no matter what is happening in your life, even right now, God is bigger than that, that God will not allow that to go beyond what you're able, but with it He will make a way of escape. And really that escape is in Him. He's our refuge. He's our strong tower. He's our deliverer. He's our rock, our sword, and our shield. He's the one that will sustain us if we learn how to call upon His name, to pray, to cry out, to sing to the Lord, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Change the atmosphere. Amen? We talked about Sunday night that you've got to get an eagle's eye perspective. You've got to rise up above it so you can see clearly. If we're down here in the barnyard with the chickens, all we're hearing is the noise and the confusion and walking around in the muck. We can't see clearly to get through, amen, the mess. So God says, come up with me, Isaiah 40, amen. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. He's talking about a place where we can go in the Spirit as we worship Him in spirit. Where He'll lift you up and all of a sudden your perspective changes. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you come into church and it's like the world's on your shoulders and you had a time of worship and it's like now you've got an eagle's eye view of things. It's like, what was I so stressed out about anyways? You see, God wants to teach us as an individual to learn how to draw from the waters of His resource. Amen. From His presence. To draw from Christ. And not have to depend on others around us. There are times when we need our brothers and sisters. And God created us that way. But what God is trying to teach us is to trust Him, to believe His word. Sometimes we're looking for a word and we're going to all the wrong places for it. You got a word for me? You got a word for me? Come on. without taking the time to spend, to get to in God's presence and settle down long enough to hear Him. He wants to speak to you. But you've got to settle down and let him speak. Remember Mary and Martha? They thought Jesus was being unreasonable. This was in John 11. Remember when He waited several more days after they notified Him that Lazarus was sick? And so Jesus just, what did He do? Nothing. He didn't change His agenda because His agenda was not His own. His agenda was the Father's agenda, and the Father had Him on an assignment. And you know, sometimes that's that way in our own lives. People want to interrupt the agenda that God has for your life so that you'll do something for them. Now, if God tells you to stop what you're doing and go with them, then listen to God. But sometimes you can get distracted, you know, or you can get derailed because you're listening to the wrong voice. Sometimes there are needs that are presented to us that are legitimate needs, but they're not for you to try to fix. Come on, we can get into a place, and some of us are, especially if you have a gift of mercy, where you're always wanting to fix everything and help everybody. How many know you can't help everybody? Can't help everybody. What is God saying? Is God telling you to help that person? Then help him. But Jesus didn't interrupt His schedule. As a matter of fact, it was part of God's plan. They didn't know it. Mary and Martha were mad at Jesus. Jesus, if you'd been here, our brother Lazarus wouldn't have died. It was 2 days later He shows up, and He's already been 4 days or whatever it was. Do the math. 4 days. He said he stinketh. He's been in the grave, you know. But that was the whole plan, to let him die. Now, come on, think about it. Sometimes we have our ideas of how our life should be. Sometimes we have our plan of how God should do it, and we don't wait on Him. We get impatient, or we think God is being unreasonable because He didn't move in the time when we thought He should have. See, God's not bound by our schedule. He's sovereign. He's God. He has His schedule. But His schedule is to do you good. His heart is to do you good. So they didn't realize that God was going to do them good. Instead, all they could see was the death of their brother and that Jesus forsook them, they thought. So then He shows up later. You remember what happened, right? He rose them from the dead. Lazarus come forth, and wow, what a miracle. You think they might have gone from sorrow to rejoicing right away, huh? We need to wait on the Lord. Every one of us have areas of weakness. Every one of us, at times, we have blind spots in our lives. We don't see it. Others see it. We don't. And so we need to also wait on the Lord in our times of weakness. We need to understand that true strength doesn't come from you and I mustering up enough courage. But true strength comes from the Lord. Because in Isaiah 40, it tells us that even the youth shall faint and be weary. In Isaiah 40 and verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. It's talking about physical endurance, right? Strength. We only have so much willpower. But the answer is in verse 31, those who wait on the Lord. Now that word wait means to look for patiently. Yeah. Look for patiently. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many know that if God created the universe, that He can certainly supply ample enough, you know, strength to us in our weakness? And the strength that He gives is supernatural. Isn't it true? There's been times when it's like you're just out of, what's the word, out of fuel. You're just running out. You're running on empty. There's been times when I've been on such a schedule that it's been nonstop. Things are going on and I just don't get a break anywhere. But you know what? God is always, as long as it's in His will, He's always come through. He's always given me the grace that I've needed. He's always given me the strength. He's given me supernatural strength. When I didn't have anything to offer, I didn't have anything left, God came in. We call it in the army, when you were running, a second wind. God is able to give you that second wind and third wind and how many winds you need. If you're in His will, He'll supply the grace. You know, some people say, you know, and I look at others that are even more busy than, you know, than I am. But some people say, well, how can you do all that? And it's like, well, if you're in the will of God, the grace of God will be there. And so you'll have everything you need. If you step outside of the will of God and you try to go beyond what God tells you to do, then there's no provision, no promise of provision for that. I believe, I truly believe this, Jesus never burned out because He walked carefully with the Father. Jesus, folks, listen, as much as this is a good thing to help people, Jesus didn't help everybody. He couldn't. He did what He saw His Father do. Amen? He helped the ones that God told Him to help. The man at the pool of Bethesda, there was one individual that He went to. That was His assignment. And so when we're weak, God will provide the grace we need, the strength. But we have to wait on God. He will recharge your batteries. It says they that look for Him patiently. That means people who seek the Lord. Not people who do this drive up kind of microwave, you know, or fast food Christianity. I came to church, I got my 15-minute buzz, you know. And now I'm just going to kind of cruise and hopefully I'll come crawling in next Sunday or maybe I may make a midweek service. But we haven't learned to draw from the resources that are freely given every day from the Lord. Come on, there's no reason why we should burn out if we're listening to His voice, doing what He says. His grace will definitely be enough for you. But those who look patiently for Him, those who seek Him, shall renew their strength. That means you need to, sometimes you need to just hang in there. We've all been there, haven't we? All you can do is just hang in there. But His grace will sustain you. Paul's prayer for the saints in Ephesians 3:16. He prayed that He, God, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. I pray that for you. I pray that for me too. I pray that God will strengthen you. I pray that God will strengthen me with might in the inner man, where it really matters, by His Spirit. It's a supernatural provision. It's His grace that works mightily in us. But He had to pray. He had to ask for it. We need to wait patiently for the Lord when we pray. In Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus spoke a parable to them. In verse 2, He said, there was a certain city. And here He was talking about that men ought to always pray and not lose heart, to not give up. Has anybody ever gotten weary praying? You kept bringing the request before God, nothing seems to happen. You're like, God, are you ever going to answer this prayer? You ever given up on a prayer before? I have. I think sometimes we're giving up on the brink of a miracle. Because sometimes when it gets the darkest, it's just before dawn, you know. And when it gets the darkest, that's when we should be pressing in even more. Amen? What's that? Amen. The light is about to come. Amen. Corrie ten Boom, yes. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. Hiding Place. Where she used to hide Jews from the Nazis during World War II. Tremendous story and testimony. But He gives us this example in Luke 18, verse 2. He says, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to Him saying, I want you to hear this. She said, get justice for me from my adversary. And He would not, for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. What was she doing? She was nagging him. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Now the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Here's a guy that could care less. All right. But he gave this woman her request because she continued to ask. She continued to bug him about it. He said, listen to what the unjust judge said. And then he said in verse 7, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? So there's a process here. Are you seeing it? Of crying out day and night. It's not this drive-by, you know, drive-through prayer, pop-up prayer, you know, boom, boom. Well, nothing happened. Though he bears long with them. So there's a process of time. I tell you, Jesus said, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? In other words, faith is demonstrated by our tenacity, you know, our willingness to stand in there, to wait on God, to press into God, to not let go and to not give up, but to hold on to God, amen, and walk through it with the Lord, knowing that God is, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I believe that my Father is my Father. He loves me. He's going to provide. He's going to take care of me because that's who he is. He's my Father, amen. And if I don't see anything right away, it doesn't matter. I'm going to still press in. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep asking, seeking, and knocking until the answer comes. Sometimes, folks, it's yes. Sometimes even right away. Other times it's flat out no. It's in God's time. And that was the next word I was going to use. The next one is wait. Wait. Yes, no, or wait. Sometimes it's not what God wants for us. It's not good for us. In fact, as a matter of fact, sometimes we're praying to get out of a situation. We're talking about employment. Because we don't like the situation we're in. But what God wants to do is he wants to develop you in that situation. And if you run away from it, you're going to have to repeat it somewhere else. And if you keep running away from it, you're going to miss what God wanted to accomplish in your life. It's not too late, but you got to get back. Say, okay, God, this time, I'm not going to move until you tell me to move. I'm not going to run away just because it's uncomfortable. I'm not going to leave just because it's not going the way I think it should go. Because sometimes it's not what they're doing to you. God is trying to do something in you. He's trying to do something in me. And if I run away from my problems, run away from my trials, then I'm going to forfeit the benefit I would receive. So hang in there and understand God is with you and God's grace will sustain you and he will give you the heart to deal with it. Be of good courage. That's your part. And he said, I'll strengthen your heart. I'll make you strong. Amen. God wants his people to be strong. We're the ones that have to be strong. Amen. The world needs to see the strength of the Lord in God's people because the day is coming and it's happening now, but it's coming, folks, where people are going to be flocking to look up you and I, the ones that right now they may be snubbing their nose at and rejecting. The day is coming. They're going to say, what must I do to be saved? I want to know your God. I want what you have. I see there's a strength in you. There's a stability. There's a patience. There's a peace in you. There's a joy. There's a love. I want what you have. I can't find it in the world. The world has lied to me. I want you to hear this too. God is a God of justice. The enemy has stolen from you. He's robbed us. Amen? Through his lies, he's robbed. He's stolen. He's destroyed. He's killed. Through his lies. God doesn't like that. God doesn't like that happening to his kids. And when the devil robs from you, it gets his attention. And we need to be like that woman that came, amen, to the unjust judge, knowing that our God is a just God. He's not like that dude. And if we're crying out to Him night and day, God, I pray, I'm saying, God, give me justice against those demonic adversaries. Are you with me? Give me justice against my enemies. Because God wants to do that. He wants to do that. He wants to restore unto you that which has been stolen. Amen? That the canker worm and the palmer worm have eaten, devoured. He wants to restore. He's a God of justice. And when you know we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, you never call judgment down on people. You just call, amen, God to say, deal with the enemy that's using them right now. And you bless those who curse you. You never curse those who curse you. They'll come back on you. You don't do it. You bless those who curse you. God's ways are not our ways. We've got to listen to what He's saying. If somebody's despitefully using you, if they're persecuting you, if you're in a situation that you don't like being in but you had no other choice, then pray for those people who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be like your Father in heaven. Amen? He does good to all. Aren't you glad that God did good to us even when we weren't looking for Him? Even He was still sending rain on us, amen? We still enjoyed good things even when we weren't Christians? Because God is good to all. God loves people. And He waits patiently for the fruit of the earth. He waits patiently for that one lost soul to come in, amen? And we need to also be patient. Like James said, brethren, be patient till the coming of the Lord. Times are not easy. They're going to get more difficult. But God is our strength. God is our refuge. God is our defense. God is our protector. God is our provider. God is our strong tower. Amen? Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding will get you in trouble. Rise above your reason. Rise above your own understanding. Rise up in the realm of the Spirit. Amen? Worship the Lord in spirit. Get into that perspective where you're with Christ in heavenly places. That's who you are. That's where you are. Rise up with Him on wings as eagles and get that view from above. Because if you're down here looking at it like this, folks, all you're going to see is the mess. God says, come up. Come up a little higher and get a different perspective. You don't have to waddle down in the barnyard with the chickens. Amen? Rise up with the eagles. We need to patiently wait when there appears to be no solution. Things are not always the way they appear. If we live by what things appear like, then we're going to miss it. If we just live by what things appear like, then we're not walking by faith. Faith is looking beyond the situation and seeing the solution in God. Saying God is, He's the one that's going to take care of this. He's bigger than that. I like what Paul said Sunday morning. He says, God is bigger than that. That was his confession. God's bigger than the problem. God's bigger than this. He's bigger than anything. Have that perspective. That's heaven's perspective. He's a huge God. He's bigger than the unknowns. He's bigger than the lack. He's able to provide. But you got to get heaven's perspective. You got to seek Him. Draw near to Him. Get up there in the heavenly realms with Him. And let God show you what you must do. He'll give you strategies. He'll give you the steps to take to get to where you'll be blessed. Job 30 and verse 26. This is what Job said in his moment of despair, his time of despair. Job chapter 30, verse 26, he says, but when I looked for good, evil came to me. And when I waited for light, then came darkness. Has anybody ever been there before? A word of encouragement. It may get worse before it gets better. But God always comes through for His people. How many have discovered that? You will discover that if you trust Him. Gethsemane and the cross preceded the resurrection and exaltation of the Lord. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Amen? He looked beyond what things appeared like, what He was going through, and He saw the joy that was waiting Him. And you know what that joy was? You, me, with Him. That was the joy of His heart. It was that passion for you and me that put Him on the cross. He laid down His life willingly. He struggled in His humanity, but His heart was broken over us. And He was willing to go all the way for you, for me. You need to wait patiently for your personal harvest too. Galatians 6:9, remember it says, do not be weary in well-doing, right? And doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not faint or lose heart. In other words, keep sowing, keep giving, keep blessing, keep praying, keep believing, keep obeying. And what you have coming to you in God's season will return to you. But if you don't sow in, you won't receive. So wait patiently for your own personal harvest. You've been doing the right things. God's been telling you maybe to sow financially, to start being faithful, to trust Him with your tithe, and to give even beyond that. In certain places, He'll tell you to give sacrificially. Start believing, amen, that when you obey God, He promised to tell the devil to get out, to rebuke the devourer. He will take care of us if we do what He tells us to do. We need to wait for the Lord, for the harvest. Hebrews 6 and verse 10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards His name. Sometimes we wonder why we work so hard and we've seen good fruit, you know, but then sometimes God intervenes and He closes the door on that. Why? Because He's taking you into a new season, into a new thing. And don't forget this, that what you've sown will not return void. What you've given, what you sacrificed to do in His name, out of love for Him, out of obedience to His voice, God's going to reward you richly for it. And that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. That means they were continuing to do it, ministering to one another. Amen? And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. If you want to see some good examples, read Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, faith and patience, receiving. Many of them didn't receive the promise even in their lifetime, but they weren't living for this life. They were living for that which was to come. If we've got heaven's perspective, folks, it does something to you. It will motivate your heart. The love of God will motivate your heart to run the race, to even do, you know, to give yourself for others. It's the love of God that should be motivating us. Amen? Not the love of self, not the love of recognition, but the love of God. Because we love, we serve. Amen? And most importantly, we do it for what Jesus can receive from that. Not so much what we can get, but what we can give Him. A return on what He sacrificed His life for. When we bring souls, when we bring people to Jesus, amen, we're bringing a return to the Lord for His sacrifice for us. Waiting does four things. I'm almost through. Number one, you might want to write these down. It exercises your faith. Isn't it true? Someone said courage is like a muscle too. It needs to be exercised, amen? You develop in patience as you're tested, as you're exercising, you know, self-control under pressure. By the grace of God, you can control yourself. And then it will develop you, it will strengthen you internally, and cause you to be a steadfast individual, one that's not just easily shaken. Exercises your faith. Waiting also, number two, humbles us. The way up in the kingdom is through humility. If we always get what we want, we become spoiled and we don't appreciate what's truly valuable. Thirdly, waiting enhances the blessing. I've shared on this before, but you know, when you've had the third one is waiting enhances the blessing. It makes it better when it finally comes. Right? We've got Christmas coming up here. Remember those times when you waited for Christmas morning, anticipating that time, and then sometimes you even wanted to cheat and take a quick look, you know? Of course, none of you ever did that. But how many of you were disappointed when you did look? Because you didn't wait on the process. You didn't wait on the time. You got ahead of the time. See, God has a glorious future for every one of us here. He has a plan and a purpose. We're somewhere along the process, somewhere along the road. But you don't ever get ahead of Him. Don't move until He tells you to move. Don't quit until He's getting ready to move you into something else. Amen? Fourthly, waiting glorifies God. When we receive the blessing, what does it produce? Glorifies God. It produces gratitude, thanksgiving. And as we spoke about Sunday night, thanksgiving produces joy. Yeah. Why? Because thanksgiving produces praise. Praise brings His presence. His presence brings joy. So waiting is good. Something that is valuable is worth waiting for. We could teach our children that lesson while they're young enough. Amen? There are certain things, we made the mistakes, you know, so don't do what I've done. Learn from my mistake. Don't repeat the same folly. You don't have to. God has something better. He has a better way. Don't listen to what the world tells you. Don't listen to what your friends tell you. God's smarter. Psalms 40 and verse 1, he said, and this is what I was thinking of that song. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, right? And established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. A new song is a result of a praise, of a testimony. Amen? That God has brought you through a test, and now you have a testimony. And that testimony is praise to God. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. In other words, many will see it and highly respect the Lord. And they will trust Him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, even. No matter where you're at right now, this is a word for all of us here. It's a word, if you will receive it, and you'll start applying it. Get a hold of the message if you need to, listen to it several times. Start applying some of these principles to your life, and you will see that God's word is true. It works. And what you're going through right now, you're going to be looking at. A while later, you're going to be looking back at it. And say, let me tell you what the Lord did for me.